Afternoon and welcome to our program today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we turn to our passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Our Father, we come before you again and we thank you for this chance to open your word. We pray for your guidance. We ask for your leading. We ask that you would search our hearts and make us thoroughly consider the things that are before us today that we might be of more use in your field. And Father, if there be a soul that is not saved, that is listening, that they might truly come to the knowledge of Christ, that your Spirit might work in their hearts. We pray, Father, all these things according to thy Son's name. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hello, this is Mike Moody along with you this week. And we're going to pick up at verse 22. If you recall yesterday, as we were looking at the great house, it was spoken of comparing a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor, speaking of purging himself as a vessel unto honor, speaking of being sanctified or set apart and ready or meet or fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And we spent some time discussing that. But we pick up the next verse, being 22, and the exhortation here is, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, if you recall, backing up to verse 14, when it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. And at that point, it says that they strive not about words. That begins a series of warnings. First, it says, strive not in verse 14. Then also in verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Verse 22, flee. Also youthful lust, as we're looking at today. Verse 24, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. So there's those four, at least, in this little section here, ending, or the last half of chapter 2, of four warnings Paul's giving here in these eight descriptions that we looked at here in chapter 2 of a believer. And here in the last verses from Old 20 through 26, it's speaking of a believer described as a vessel and also as a servant down in verse 24. So when we think of this verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Now when we think of this, it's not always the word lust in connection with sexual sins or physical sins, if you will, but young believers or believers as a whole are exhorted to flee also youthful lust. It may not be a youthful person, but the lust, the sin itself, we could say is youthful or immature. Things that we should put in our path, things that we should, by the leading of the Spirit, not yield to. Flee also youthful lust. Lust is a word that connects with desire. Or something hot, something that you burn toward. The word lust can mean putting anything before God that you might have a lust for, a sinful desire, something that would hinder your service to the Lord. Well, notice in verse 22, it doesn't just say flee off. So youthful lust, as in most exhortations that you find in the Word of God, we see an answer, a comparison. It's so well noted also in the book of Proverbs. You see so many things spoken of that would be negative, yet then it would turn around and give a tremendous comparison. It would compare the fool to that which is wise. Well, here we see that same thing. As it gives us the exhortation to flee something, it says, but four things: follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Four things. Instead of just saying flee, it exhorts us to follow. From flee to follow. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Well, if you have the Word of God in front of you, turn back to Galatians chapter 5, and we see the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, or the word charity, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We see there the nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned. Well, in the portion we're looking at today, that verse 22 of 2 Timothy 2, when it says righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, three of those are mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit. Faith, charity, which is love, and peace. Follow righteousness, it says first. Well, we know that our Lord is righteous, and we are righteous in Christ. When we are born again, and we're one of the children of God, we are positionally righteous, and we're told to follow righteousness. Many and most of the times when you study the doctrines of salvation, you see that there is a positional point that we have in Christ, and then there is the practical end that we're exhorted to do. Now we see here, follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, when we think of this verse, we would consider that out of a pure heart. And we would consider also a few other verses that tie in with your vessel, as in the previous verse, verse 21. Well, in that verse, not only does it mention the vessel, it also mentions being sanctified or set apart. Let's look at a few verses in connection with that. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, keep in mind what we've been reading about fleeing youthful lust. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, if you notice there, those words are repeated in the verses we've read and are about to read. It mentions sanctification, it mentions abstain, and it in connection with fornication. Sanctification being set apart to God, fornication being an evil sin of the flesh, but it says abstain. Then also it speaks of your vessel, just like it did over in 2 Timothy. Here in Thessalonians it says we should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. Well, again, the word honor repeated over in 2 Timothy, our chapter 2 there, speaking of that vessel where we would be a vessel unto honor or to dishonor. So we see a great connection with how we are to be either a vessel of honor or dishonor based on sanctification, being set apart, practically walking according to the Word of God. We see those words repeated a couple of times. Now over in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, again it says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. It not only wars against our bodies, it is not only a sin against our bodies, but it wars against the soul. So Paul is telling these ones that he calls pilgrims and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust. Now we see that lust not only is the carrying out of a sin, but also the lust that is in the heart. It begins in the heart and the mind, and then it becomes an outward sin as well. But yet, it's still a sin against God when it's in our hearts and our minds. So, again, another portion, we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And over there, let's pick up at verse 18. Paul is talking to the believers at Corinth. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What a thought. That brings in to the idea of him being our master. It brings in the thought of us being stewards or managers. Our time, we're only managers of it. That which we have around us, materialistic things or material things, finances, it is something we're a steward over. We should put it in the hands of God. All of these things, our body, and it says here, our body and spirit, they are God's. We're only a steward of these things that God has put us to manage, but yet they are God's. They are, and I say God, they are which God is the master of. So I'd ask the question today, is God the master of your body and your spirit? We say here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, with a great exhortation from Paul to Timothy to abstain from youthful lust. Or here he says, flee. Also youthful lust. But follow what? Here's the answer. Follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the name or call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, in closing today, the words a pure heart is something we need to think a little bit about. We cannot become right with God by trying to clean up the old heart. These exhortations, such as in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, much of it we see would be directed to the walk of a believer, obviously. So here, when it speaks of a believer fleeing youthful lust and following righteousness, faith, and love, and peace within the call of the Lord out of a pure heart, we first must know that we have a pure heart in and through the person of Christ, through his shed blood for our sins. If we know not Christ as our Savior, then we cannot follow righteousness. We cannot have true faith and love and peace, as exhorted here, unless we truly have a pure heart. Not a heart that's just been cleaned up or made a little better, made a little more moral, but what we have to have is a regenerated heart, a new heart. You must be born again, the Lord told Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, friend, I close today asking you, do you know Christ as your Savior? And if so, to glorify the Lord Jesus is our great exhortation we give to you, that we would follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, and give honor where honor is due unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. This has been the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you.